Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Ho, ho, ho. What else can I say? Feliz Navidad. Cliche, cliche, cliche. Have we covered them all? Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas to you and your family. God bless you. Here's an extra couple dollars. It's Christmas. I'm feeling generous. I'm happy. I'm excited. It's Christmas time. We're all happy and excited, right? And I knew I had to preach this Sunday, and I felt I was supposed to share on Christmas, but man, where do you start? I felt a little like Isaiah's character in the play the other night. How do I make this old story from the Bible relevant in today's language so that we can understand it? I could share about this. I was undecided. There's so many aspects of it. What part of Christmas do I want to share? I love history, so I thought, well, maybe I could start in Genesis and do a timeline leading up to Christmas. What led to this event? And all the Old Testament prophecies leading up to it. Well, that was covered Thursday night. Jolene stole that from me, so I had to scrap that after Thursday night. Joel. Okay, well, I'll blame Joel then. No, I hadn't decided by Thursday night yet what I'm going to share. But I had thought of that. I could have talked about why he came, when he did. Talked about the 400 silent years between the Old Testament and New Testament. Fascinating history. And all that led up to Christmas. Why did he come then? Well, does anybody actually know exactly why he came then? It says that the time was fulfilled. I could have talked about that. I could have just read the Christmas story. Like Harold found an alternative, a different version of it that we can understand a little bit better. I could have done that. I could have just read Luke 2 and talked about all the details in there. I mean, there's so many fascinating details in this story. We could have talked about the angels. How many angels were involved? He visited Zacharias, and he visited Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. And then all the angels that came and sang to the shepherds. The angels that talked to the wise men in the dream. Could have talked about how many angels is a host of angels. How many angels were there really? We could have talked about what Mary was feeling at this time. I mean, this was a major life experience. What was she going through? How about Joseph? Were they facing ridicule? Were they being looked down on? We could have talked about all of that. When they got to Bethlehem, first of all, why Bethlehem? It wasn't that big a city. Could have talked about that. Why there? What about the inn? What kind of inn was it? Was it like a motel? Was it just a house? Or what about the stable? Was he actually born in a barn? Or was it a cave? What about this manger? What is a manger? Were there actually animals there? I mean, every nativity shows animals there, right? So there had to be animals there. We could have talked about all of that. What about the wise men? How many wise men were there? Was it three? There was three gifts, so three wise men, right? And they rode in on camels from where? From the east, from afar. Where did they come from? Who were they? What brought them there? What star did they follow? There's so many details in this story. Some of them we can explore, and some of them we know a lot about because we have tremendous historians that have done their research. Other details we don't really know. And it's fascinating stuff. It's details that I love to dig into. It's history that I love to look at and try to figure out exactly what was going on. But I discovered that I was getting lost in the details. And I was missing, in all those details that are part of the Christmas story, maybe I was missing the true meaning of the story. Just like we can get lost in today's modern Christmas. You got Santa Claus, and you got gifts, and you got lights, and you got shopping, and you got food, and you got family, and you got Christmas parties, and you got food, and you got more family, and you got traveling, and you got food. Did I mention food? I didn't? Well, you got food. All this stuff that's happening, we got deadlines at work, we got all this stuff we got to get done before Christmas. All these customers want their products before Christmas. We got to get it done. Everybody's got a deadline. We're leaving for a trip 2 days before Christmas, and all this stuff we got to get done before then. We got to have our own little family Christmas before we go have a big family Christmas. Are we getting lost? Are we missing the true point of Christmas? So in all of that, trying to figure all of that out, it was late Friday night before I finally figured out exactly where I'm going. And I don't know how that would make you feel, but it wasn't a great feeling for me waiting that long to figure out exactly where I'm going this morning. But I decided to keep it simple. What is Christmas? Why Christmas? I'm going to look at the Christmas story from the four different Gospels. And when I say the Christmas story, where do you generally go to for the Christmas story? Luke. Why? Because Luke has all the details. Luke has the most details. So when we want to read the Christmas story, generally, we go to Luke. But I'm going to look at all the four Gospels. What do the four Gospels say about the Christmas story? I'm going to start in Matthew. Now, Matthew gives a lot of details as well in the first 17 verses. He would have made a good Mennonite because he went through all the genealogy, exactly who Jesus was and where he came from. Now, those details are very important, especially to the Jews, because it proves that Jesus was the direct descendant of Abraham. But I'm not going to read those details. Matthew gives the story of Jesus' birth in about 8 verses. Way shorter than Luke's version. But I'm going to read one verse. Luke chapter 1, verse 21. The angel talking to Joseph. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Matthew. What did I say? Luke. I'm reading out of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Sorry. Matthew gives the Christmas story in 8 verses. But I just chose to read one. What is the true meaning of Christmas? Why Christmas? And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. There we have it. The angel told Joseph, this is what's going to happen. She's having a baby, and this will be your Savior. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. Will he save all people from their sins? He wants to. But not all people will make that choice. But he is our Savior. And he was born on Christmas Day. Let's turn to Mark. Now, Mark doesn't have the Christmas story as we know it. Mark doesn't have all the details that Luke has. He doesn't have the details that Matthew has. Mark starts out with what? A prophecy. But it's not about Jesus. The prophecy is about John the Baptist. Jesus comes on the scene in verse 9 of Mark chapter 1. And he's already an adult. Mark chapter 1, verse 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. So Mark skips all the details about the trip to Bethlehem and the angel visits and all of that. Mark doesn't even mention that. He doesn't mention Jesus until 9 verses into his gospel. And as Jesus is already an adult and he's being baptized by John the Baptist. But you see what happens immediately after that. Mark records the part where the Spirit descends from heaven, and a voice from heaven says in verse 11, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So Mark, make sure that you know that this is the Son of God. This Jesus that appears as an adult in verse 9 is the Son of God. And then go on to verse 15. John is already put in prison in verse 14. Jesus starts his ministry. And verse 15, Jesus is saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." What made Jesus be able to say that? Because what Matthew said. He was the baby that was born to save man from their sins. And Mark is confirming that. Jesus begins his ministry and he says, the first words Jesus says in the book of Mark is, "Repent." From what? your sins and what? Believe on who? Believe on me. Believe on Jesus. Because I am that baby that was born as your Savior. Believe on me, Jesus said, because I can forgive you from your sins. He is our Savior. Now, my Bible here at the beginning of Mark, it says that Mark's gospel could be captured in a single verse. And here's the verse. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. Mark 10, verse 45. That is the goal, the message of Mark's gospel. That this Jesus is our Savior. And that's why He came. Next in chronological order would be Luke. But we're going to leave Luke for last. We're going to do the book of John. The gospel according to John. Here again, there's no Christmas story as we know it in the Gospel of John. Matthew and Luke both start their Gospels recording the history or who Jesus is basically from the human aspect of it. I mean, they talk about the God aspect of Jesus as well. But Matthew records all the genealogy, who He is, where He came from. And Luke records everything that happened, how He was born and all these details. John skips all of that. And he starts out and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He goes straight to the fact that Jesus was God, and is God, and was at the beginning, back, way back in Genesis, before Genesis, Jesus was. He was there. He was God. He is God. He was in the beginning. The closest John comes to the Christmas story is chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Talking about Jesus. He became flesh. How did He become flesh? When He was born as a baby. He became flesh and He dwelt among us. Why did He do that? He was God. He wouldn't have had to come and dwell among us. But it's so much more relatable that way, isn't it? He lived here. He understands what we go through, what we've been through. Jesus went through all of that Himself. He became flesh, and He dwelt among us. But if you go on to verse 29 of John chapter 1, John the Baptist here, verse 29, the next day John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Once again, in the first chapter of the Gospel according to John, we have confirmation that Jesus is the Son of God and He is our Savior. That is His purpose here on earth, is to take away our sins. Verse 30, "This is He of whom I have said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me." And verse 34, John says, "And I have seen and testify that this is the Son of God." So John was confirming what we've already shared this morning in the other two Gospels, that this Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Savior, our Savior, my Savior. Now let's go to Luke. Finally, Luke, where all the details are at. The Christmas story. We could read all of chapter 1 and all of chapter 2. So familiar. We know it so well. But sometimes we miss the true meaning of Christmas. I'm going to read only two verses of the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The angel speaking to the shepherds. "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.'" That is the Christmas message right there. It's born to you, to each one of you, to me, to these shepherds, to everybody the shepherds told, to everybody that ever was or ever will be, there was born in Bethlehem a Savior. That is the Christmas message. It's that simple. We can get so wrapped up in the details, and I love the details, and they're part of the story. They're important. But this is it. There was born a Savior. A Savior from what? Our sins. Everybody's sins. And it's available for everybody, the angel said. I'm going to do a little exercise to get you all involved here. So why do we need a Savior? All those that are 50 years and older, stand, please, if you are able. If you don't want to admit that you're that age, I'm sorry. I'm calling you out here. All right, look at these. Look at this. This is the cream of the crop right here. Ah, that made Amos stand up straight. This group here, they represent wisdom and experience, right? They've lived longer than the rest of us have. They've experienced a lot in life. They've achieved a lot in life. If you need advice, this is the group you go to. They've probably experienced what you're struggling with. Surely none of them need a Savior because they've lived long enough to figure it out and they know where they're going and how they're going to get there, right? So if anyone from this group does not need a Savior, you can take a seat. They all stayed standing. Well, that didn't work. All right, well, we'll try the next group. So let's go 29. Please stay standing. Unless you don't need a Savior. 20 years old through age 49. Please stand up. All right, well, surely we'll figure it out in this group. This group here, and please take these descriptions pretty broadly. This is what I would consider the working group. The older group, they've done their work. They can start slowing down and handing it off to this group that just stood up. This group here, they're full of energy. They're full of ideas. They know where they want to go, and they can do whatever it takes to get there. They're willing to put in the work. They're willing to put in the time. They can still make mistakes, and they got enough time left to bounce back from it, recover it, start all over, and keep on going. If you need something done, you give it to this group. So surely from this group, somebody here won't need a Savior because they're willing to work hard enough to save themselves, right? So if anybody from this second group does not need a Savior, you may be seated. All right, they're still standing. Last group, anybody that's left, ages 0 to 19, please stand up. Surely from this group is where it's at. Look at this. This group is innocent. They're young. Boundless energy. Way too much energy sometimes. They haven't even made enough mistakes to need a Savior. And surely if us first two groups, the middle group and the older group, work together and give all our life experiences to these young people and tell them what not to do and what to do, surely they won't need a Savior because we can get them saved, right? So if any of this youngest group doesn't need a Savior, you can sit down. Everyone is standing. Every single person in here is in need of a Savior. Nobody in here can get there on their own. Nobody has done enough or is able to do enough to get to heaven, to achieve salvation on your own. It's not possible. Y'all can be seated. Thank you for participating. And that's what Christmas is about. A Savior, my Savior, my personal Savior, was born in this story. He was willing to leave the comforts of heaven. And he didn't come as a baby to a wealthy king. He didn't come as a king himself. He didn't ride into Jerusalem on a white horse followed by the largest army man has ever seen. He came as a humble baby to an unknown, probably fairly poor couple, born in humble conditions, willing to be like us here on earth for a time, all the while still being God. Why? So he could save us from our sins. So he could save you from your sins. So he could save me from my sins. Because he loves us. He cares for us. All the Gospels start off differently. Some include a lot of details about Jesus' birth. Some don't include any details about Jesus' birth. But they all end the same, with the story of the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. And that could not have happened without the Christmas story. Our Savior was born at Christmas. And that's why we celebrate this time of year. Let's not get lost in all the details. Let's remember one thing. Our Savior was born. And let's follow the example of the shepherds. If you're here this morning and you have not made that decision to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, follow the example of the shepherds. They heard the message. And what did they do? They went looking. They weren't going to stop until they found Him. What about the wise men? They knew that a king was born, that a Savior was born. And they traveled, I don't know how far. They were going to find that baby, that Savior. And they did. And what did they, both the shepherds and the wise men, experience when they found that baby? Exceeding great joy. So if you have not made that decision, follow the example of the shepherds. Search for your Savior. He is waiting for you. He wants you to accept Him as your Savior. He wants to forgive you from your sins. That's why He came. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, also follow the example of the shepherds. What did the shepherds do on the way to find that baby? They told everybody the message they had heard. What was the message they had heard? That a Savior was born. And they were going to go find Him, and they were taking people with them. They were telling everybody they could. A Savior was born, and we're going to go find Him. So if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, be like the shepherds. Tell people about it. On the way back to their sheep, they were walking through the streets of Bethlehem, rejoicing and praising God, and telling everybody they could that a Savior was born. Are we doing the same thing? Luke chapter 2, verse 14. I'm going to read the ESV version. And I think this is a very important verse. If we give glory to God because He sent a Savior, what can we receive in return? Peace. As having Christ as my personal Savior, there is peace. There is a tremendous peace in knowing that I have been forgiven from my sins. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. So that is my challenge for you this Christmas. If you have not accepted that Savior, please accept Him as your Savior. If you have, praise God, but please tell others about your Savior and what He has done for you and the real meaning of Christmas. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, we thank You so much for the gift of a Savior that was born in Christmas. Lord, we just ask that You would help us to not get distracted in all the details and all the noise and all the hustle and the bustle and everything that's going on, but help us to remember that You are our Savior, and that You love us, and that You care for us, and that You can forgive us for our sins. Lord, just ask that You would help us to spread Your message, especially this time of year, to the people around us that may be needing it, Lord. Just ask that You would watch over us. Keep us safe today. Be with the many people that are traveling. Keep them safe as well, Lord. We ask this all in Your name. Amen. You're dismissed.